Hello, welcome to Tales Over Tales. It's your favorite girls. I'm Jordan.
And I'm Alicia.
Hello, my friend. It's good to see you.
Hello, my dear.
Oh my goodness. Why does it always feel so long since like the last time that we did this? But it's not like we don't text or talk offline.
I know, and we went out for my birthday, so that was fun.
Yes, I took her out to a new spot, the living room wine bar that she hadn't been to yet. Shout out, it was pretty great.
10 out of 10. It was so good. The wine was great. The French fries, I need to go back for those French fries. Those were so good.
I actually, next week, I'm trying their other location.
Oh.
They have three in the valley.
I know they have the one we went to, and then they have one in Chandler?
Yes, I'm going to the one in Chandler, and then they have one, if I'm not mistaken, like way up in North Scottsdale.
Oh, so that's probably fancy.
Anyway. But yes, it's good to see you. Let's share some highs and lows since the last time we recorded. What's been going on? What's a high and low for you?
Oh my goodness. I don't even know where to start. My life has just been wild lately these last few weeks. I've moved to a new place. It's same apartment complex, but just a different apartment because the apartment we were living in before had carpet and mold and it was suffocating. So we moved to another apartment that was renovated. So now we have these wood floors and we have like a washer and dryer and all these like fancy appliances. So it's like super weird. But so that's been good because I realized that the reason that my breathing and stuff has been so off, and like why I've been wheezing and stuff, is because I've been inhaling mold this whole time.
Yeah, that's so bueno.
Yeah, so that's been fun. So that happened. And then I just got done training for a new job at work. So I know that's exciting. So now I'm officially, I work for finances, like in stock for a private bank at Merrill Lynch. So it's all fanciness. And so those are like pretty much my highs. My low, my dog Coco, we've had her for almost 13 years. She unfortunately died on us, a couple weeks ago. I actually just got her paw print, the other day. I know. So, yeah, me too. It's been hard. I think the last couple of days have actually been like the first couple of days where like mentioning her name, I'm not like inconsolably crying because she was such a special dog. And like at first it felt kind of silly to like cry over an animal, but she was like our child pretty much. So losing her so rapidly was unexpected. So that was really hard. Like we didn't know she was sick. So I think that's just kind of makes it a little worse. But yeah, so those have been my highs and my lows for this whirlwind of the last couple of weeks for sure. So,
well, thank you for sharing.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah, it's just been a lot, but you know, we're hanging in there.
Yeah.
What about you? How are you doing, ma'am?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. I think I'll start with my low, I guess. It's definitely been quite the adjustment. This is our first podcast recording, by the way, listener, that I am no longer a grad student.
Yeah.
We started this podcast and I was still going through grad school. And I am now officially done, which has been such a relief. I think,
if you hubby approves of you done.
Yes, quite the relief. It's also combined a little bit of that low. I think the transition or just the adjustment has been a little difficult. I'm so used to school and so used to doing work, school work, that not that I have idle time because I'm finding other ways to fill it, but it's been a lot. Yeah. So that would probably be my low, maybe just feeling a little overwhelmed with the transition, possibly, or taking a little bit of time, if you will, to adjust, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
And did you share your high? Oh, my gosh. I'm trying to remember now what your high was, because all I was focusing was on the sadness of Coco. So, yes.
Yes.
You shared a high, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. It was new apartment, new job, no more mold.
Perfect. Yes, and no more mold. That was going to be what my guess was. I'm so sorry. I have a Swiss cheese memory. It's awful. But my high, I mean, there have been a lot of highs with graduating with my master's and being done with my master's program. I just got back from Napa Valley with my husband, and that was an amazing experience. It was our first time, so neither of us had been, and it was really fun. We got to enjoy some cooler weather and see some really beautiful scenery and taste some really yummy, delicious cheese and wine and crackers and all the yummy things. And so it was a really nice time. It was a great way to be able to celebrate. So super thankful for that.
I love it.
So yes, I would say that is probably my high. And among, you know, a couple of other things, getting involved with a local book club here has been a lot of fun in the Valley. Oh, and that's been nice. Yeah. And I think that's where I'll leave it for now. But should we move on and tell listener what we're drinking? We are going the theme of summer.
We really are. You tell them, because I can't pronounce it. Your hubby pronounced it perfectly, so I don't know if we need to have him hop in here. And
we're still going to probably pronounce it wrong, but it's Leinenkugel, and it's Summer Shandy.
Leinenkugel,
either one. I don't know. You know, if you drink enough, it just all starts to sound the same.
It blends together.
Yes, so we are drinking a summer shandy beer because, listener, we are recapping Every Summer After by Carly Fortune. Holy Toledo. I'm really excited to talk about this book with you.
I am too. This book was everything. I really, really enjoyed it.
Oh, good.
I know you had mentioned the last 50 to 60 pages is where it had picked up quite a bit.
Yes. And was I wrong?
No, because I was sitting in my office area and I was just dead set on finishing it. And Leland and Jay were just put the book down. You could finish it tomorrow. I'm but I'm almost done.
Oh, no, I was the same way. So I had a book I wanted to take with us on our trip to Napa. And I ended up being that girl that takes two books with her on her trip. I always try not to be that girl. And I have my Kindle. I try to travel light, all of those things. But I, just like you, I was determined. I was I'm going to finish this book before I go on this trip. Yeah. And lo and behold, maybe an hour before I had to go to bed the night before we got on the plane, I was yep, finished, done.
Yeah,
so, I know. Yeah. Anyway, so yes, you loved the book.
I loved it. It was so good. I just loved the story. I had a feeling what the main secret was. I had a feeling that's what it was.
Okay.
And then when I read the part, I was like, I freaking knew it. It was just so convenient because the person was there, and it was just okay. Well, we'll get into that. We'll get into that. Let me read the summary here, and
please, then we can
talk about this because holy Toledo's of all the unpacking we have to do. Okay,
so
our little summary. So listeners, if you remember from the last episode, we're kind of switching things up here a little bit. So this time around, instead of going chapter by chapter, we're just going to do a little summary, give our take on it, all that good stuff. So we're just trying to switch it up, see if you guys like it. If you do, you know where the comment section is on our Instagram and all the platforms and all that good stuff. All right. So plot summary. Okay. So we have Persephone?
Correct.
Persephone?
Yes.
Yes.
The name is pronounced Persephone.
Persephone. I love that name. So Persephone Fraser, they call her Percy, which actually is a lot better. But she is this 30-year-old. She's confident, bright, very private, like big time magazine editor who is living in Toronto. And she really does have, like, she really does carry the weight of the world on her shoulders for sure. And it just really has a lot to do with something that she did really terrible in her past. And she's not really sure how she can even really recover from it. So meeting her soulmate, his name is Sam Florek, at the ripe young age of 13 years old, and they actually ended up breaking up shortly after graduating university. Percy broke up with him. She ends up battling, you know, a lot of challenges that women are definitely facing today. But following the death of Sam's mother, who was very loved, her name was Sue, she's called back to the lake and summer where this whole story really began. So it's just the combination of anxiety mixed in with like some nostalgia as she just returns to where this story really began is just really overwhelming for her. But it's told through fond yet very painful memories of then and where her and Sam are today. So we definitely follow along with their love story. It's just really awkward beginnings of young love to the difficulties of navigating a long distance relationship when they're in college. They frequently find themselves fighting and like, you know, they're really against the odds when it comes to being together. But their relationship takes an even bigger hit when Percy sleeps with Sam's older brother, Charlie. And after many years go by, I believe it was like 12 years, go by without speaking to each other, Sam and Percy are forced to like reconnect over the weekend of Sue's memorial. And what follows is a summer of rekindling like we've never really seen before. But we also get a really good insight about how Percy is just taking everything on her own. But every summer after is that quintessential love conquers all, overcoming the loss of time, like Tale of Two Childhood Lovers. Carly just seeks to remind readers of like innocence that we felt when we were young and how beautiful it can be when one gets to discover and one day rediscover that first love for sure.
Oh, well done. I like it.
Yeah.
Like best friends to lovers.
Yes.
That, like, childhood best friends to lovers. Excellent trope. I'm a big fan.
I am too. Yeah.
It was definitely
good to just really see how both of them just grew into that love because it was just so cute how like at first they were just these awkward kids.
Yeah.
And just like every summer it was, you know, literally the definition of what you think a summer love is, you know, and it's very cute.
And sure. I liked the contrast. I think Carly Fortune is a great writer. Yeah. I liked the then and now sort of timelines, right? Yeah. And how the memories from the past, the story from the past, you know, really was well woven into telling the story that was today. I don't know. I thought that it did a great job.
No, she really did though. Yeah, because it, you know, I looking back on it too, when she was doing the then and now, I didn't realize that the then, when it was like 17 years ago, 15 years ago, she was really breaking down what happened that 12 years ago, you know, where this big thing happened that she's been struggling with, which we end up finding out she sleeps with Charlie. But I didn't realize at the time of reading this until I looked back that she was actually counting down the years of this event that happened. And so that was pretty, it's pretty interesting.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I had a couple issues too, and we'll go into that a little bit, but I have to agree. I overall would give this book a ton of praise. Certainly made me want to go hang out by a lake.
100%. I know. I want to go to Canada.
Oh, 100%. I loved Carly Fortune's writing so much. This was her debut novel. She's only got two, and I just bought her second one, Meet Me at the Lake, and I'm very excited to read it. Now, were there some issues? Were there some gaps in the storyline? I have to say so. At least it felt that way for me. One issue, listener, that Alicia and I actually did text about a little bit when we were both reading the book. Excuse me. Where were Percy's parents?
Okay, thank you. Because they were like hardly mentioned in the book. And I feel like Sue was definitely more involved with her. She seemed more of like the parent than her actual parents were. I mean, I just thought that was kind of odd that they weren't there, but it seemed like they were there also. I don't know. It was just kind of an odd thing to leave out.
Part of my issue, like, so listener, Percy and Sam grow up next door neighbors. Sam is the local town boy, excuse me, local small town country boy living by the lake. And Percy and her parents, they commute every summer from the city. They buy the cottage next to Sue, Charlie, and Sam shortly after Charlie and Sam's dad passes away. And it really did seem, when we go into like the past, when Carly Fortune goes into the older days, Percy's parents seemed pretty well connected with Sue.
Yeah.
Where were they the weekend of her memorial?
Yeah, right.
Why didn't they go?
Right. Like, where were they? Like, what were...
That was my question.
Yeah.
They were in Europe. Hold on. Does Percy say something about they...
You know
what?
Had
been traveling abroad at the time. Maybe they were. Actually, that's right. I apologize. I think they end up in Europe. But it just seems, it seems very odd that there's maybe not even, I mean, this day and age with technology, like there's not even a conversation maybe that she has with her parents. I think at one point, maybe she does try, Percy does try to get a hold of them, possibly to like share that. I don't remember, but I that just seemed very curious to me.
It seemed too that there was like a certain part. I'm pretty sure she was still a teenager, but there was also like chunks of the book where her parents wouldn't even go to the cottage. She was by herself.
Well, they would go And then they still had work over the summer. They were realtors, weren't they realtors?
Yeah.
And they would have different summer events, or they would have functions, different things that they were responsible for attending. And eventually Percy reaches this point where her parents are comfortable leaving her there by herself. Mostly because they've gotten to know Sue, and they've gotten to know Charlie and Sam, and they know that Percy's in good hands. If anything is going on, Sue will take care of her. And so Sue is a small town business owner back in the day. She has a restaurant that Charlie, Sam, and Percy all end up working at, a kitchen and bar, a tavern. It's called The Tavern. Famous for its pierogies. Have you had a pierogi?
No, I have not.
Really?
Yeah.
They're pretty good.
What are pierogies? I meant to look it up and...
They're hard to describe or explain. I think... Well, they're really not. I think they're kind of like dumplings. I haven't had one in a long time.
That should be your quest for when we go out next, is go find pierogies.
There you go. Yeah. No, I was right. They are. They're dumplings, basically. And they can be savory or sweet as well, but it's supposed to be really good. So anyway, why don't you tell listener a little bit, Alicia, about what drives Percy ultimately to end up sleeping with Charlie?
Okay. So can I just say that Sam's behavior frustrated me. Like,
what about Sam's behavior frustrated you?
So listen, I get it. Okay. Well, I don't get it because I didn't go to college like somewhere else and had a long distance relationship. So maybe I don't get it. But it was kind of a mix of Sam not having proper communications with his girlfriend, but I feel like Percy's but I also feel like Percy's behavior though was also kind of uncalled for as well, just because I'm trying to figure out how to explain this, but they're new to this long distance relationship, right? And Percy is trying to get a hold of Sam. Sam is not being responsive, or if he is, he's being very short. So in turn, it, you know, turns into Percy just going psycho girlfriend because she has like some codependency issues, which that I totally get. And we can get into that in a minute. But, you know, just with Sam, and then, you know, so in turn of all this back and forth with this, Sam ends up having a conversation with Percy, and she takes it as she doesn't know if they're just taking a break just so he can figure out what they need to do or if they're breaking up. And in turn, she starts hanging out with Charlie because Charlie is trying to like make her feel better. And
well, they had always grown up hanging out with Charlie.
So it was like nothing new either. It was just kind of like, well, since Sam, you know, is being this way, let me help cheer you up somehow. And I feel like, so when I was reading this at first too, I thought Charlie's intentions were very nice. I thought he was being just a good friend. Like, okay, my brother's being a jerk. Like, what can I do to make you feel better? But the more that they started hanging out, it started turning into like this whole flirtatious like relationship. And it was when they went on that date to the movies when this happened, right? If I'm thinking of
correct. Yeah. They went into town for some like drive-in movie. So
yeah,
listener, for context, the story is supposed to take place out on Barry's Bay.
Yeah.
Which is a real place, by the way. Up in Canada, looked it up, love it, beautiful, great.
Gorgeous.
And Sam has an opportunity the summer before he is actually supposed to start school. And he ends up going, is it to Queen? Queen University, Queen's University, something along those lines.
Yeah.
And he wanted to go to medical school.
Mm-hmm.
He had wanted to go to medical school since he was really young. He was super smart. And his dad had passed away in his 50s of a heart attack. Yeah. So for Sam, this was, okay, I want to, he goes on runs every day. He swims in the lake with Percy and Charlie. Like, he's very health conscious. And even like growing up as kids, right, they play the board game Operation, and Sam is very into like textbooks and science and all of these things. And he gets an opportunity the summer before he's supposed to start school to basically kickstart like this pre-med internship, this pre-med program.
Yeah. But he didn't even tell Percy about it.
No. And we can talk a little bit about that. Sure. I took issue with that too. What you have to consider, what it boils down to for me, these are teenagers.
Yep.
These are kids. That prefrontal cortex has not finished
developing. Yeah.
It hasn't finished forming. And it's funny. So, yes, you talk about Percy's codependency. You talk about, you know, the insecurity. We can get into that in a moment. I want to talk about and address the email that Sam ends up sending her. Listen, my 31-year-old self had no problem with that email. I read it and I thought, he's putting up boundaries. He's explaining what's going on, what he's having problems with, and he's trying to express boundaries.
Yeah.
I am no expert at any of this. I do not claim or pretend to be. As someone that does struggle with codependency, I know what it's like to violate my husband's boundaries. I know what it's like to have those urges, being very clingy, being very needy, interpreting things the wrong way. Alicia, I personally felt like she just went off the rails. I really, really did. I'm not disagreeing with you to say Sam didn't have a part to play in it, because he could have handled it better when he chose, by, you know, considering the way that he chose not to tell her until when I think he told her literally maybe only like a week or two before he was supposed to leave. If I'm not, and the summer was only just supposed to be starting.
Yep, exactly. And so she was like looking forward to like their summer together, just being like, you know, how they were when they were kids. But yeah, no, I get what you're saying though. Like, yeah, I agree. Like, I didn't see anything wrong with the email either. But like you said too, I think it was just my issue with that was like the way that he addressed it. And it's not, and you know, and like you said too, it has to do with the fact that their brain hasn't really fully developed yet. They are teenagers. They're figuring this thing out with, you know, this friendship that turned into a relationship. Now it's long distance and, you know, he's trying to find himself and he's trying to figure out how to be better for him and be better for her. So they have that future together, which was like super sweet of him. But yeah, it was just like the way that he went about doing it for sure was just a little like, come on, dude. Like, you have to think about it. You know, she's not stable, I guess is the word, if you want to put it that way.
Because we're really sensitive. Human beings are sensitive creatures. Yeah. I don't care if you're female or male, right? Yeah. And when you're in that romantic relationship, even outside of romantic relationships, right? Listener, Alicia and I have grown up together.
Yeah.
I probably know how to push your buttons. Yeah. I know you know how to push mine. Like, it's not, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so do I think that there could have been more sensitivity on his side? Do I think that there could have been more consideration for how she might feel? And that was part of Charlie's frustration with Sam. Listener, were reading the book along with us. Like, I was over here like, oh my gosh, Sam, take a page out of your brother's book, please. Yeah, now, seriously. Sam's not innocent, or Charlie's not innocent in, I mean, it also was like, it takes two to tango kind of a thing. Okay. Like, that's not just Percy, but it brings me back to that phrase, hurt people hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie wasn't necessarily hurt. He just kind of got caught in the crossfire. He was a culprit in it as well. But Percy acting out of hurt, and then Sam in the ways that he acted out of his hurt. It just, that was probably one of the major plot points that did frustrate me.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. I definitely agree with that. Oh, yeah.
So overall, though, I mean, I don't, and I think about my transition from high school to college, I didn't handle it very well. It was a really big transition. It was really, really hard. And I think even in his email to her, Sam mentions to Percy how, just how much he underestimated the difficulties or the challenge that he would have in.
Yeah, I know. I was like, I was reading that and I felt, you just kind of feel, you feel a little bad for him, because he was saying too that, you know, he was like, he's this small town kid and he thought he was like super smart and he thought he knew all these things. And then he goes into college and he's like, I know absolutely nothing of what I thought I knew. And I was just like, oh, like he was just putting himself down and just really doubting how smart he really was. So yeah, that was definitely something too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, one of my questions that I had for you too, because I was curious, we touched a little bit on just the codependent tendencies, the insecurities that Percy was facing, and even referencing in the summary how a lot of women today go through these kinds of things. If you were in Percy's shoes, if you were in Percy's position, would you seek help? How would you seek help? What would that look like for you?
Yeah.
Counseling, treatment, therapy.
Yeah. I think that just what makes it a little hard for Percy too, is because she didn't really have anyone to really talk to about the feelings that she was going through.
Well, the one person that she did remember, she shut out.
Yep.
Because the listener, we had Delilah.
Yep.
And poor old Delilah.
I know.
Ends up going to the same school that Sam is going to. And wouldn't you know it, frat boy Sam goes and makes a move on Delilah. And being a good friend, she completely like disregards his past, and she tells Percy about it.
Yeah.
And Percy call Delilah a slut? Like,
yeah, she was like, what did she say? She said like she shouldn't be surprised that she's, you know, so defensive just because of like how her behavior has been before. But you also see this kind of like pushing away tendencies too, even in the now, when her friend Chantel is like trying to reach out to her and, you know, she's trying to be like, are you okay? Like, dude, what's going on? And she just like,
ignore the calls, ignore the text messages.
Exactly. So yeah, I just like,
so how would you handle that?
definitely I would personally would have sought help because I feel like she went through a lot going through that summer growing up, you know, going through and pursuing her dreams. And then she still had, you know, even to the now where she was still in that mind frame of I'm not good enough, you know, pushing people away. Yeah. So I feel like to have helped her, if this was like my situation, definitely would have sought some help because it's not. Yeah. And
even down to like the struggle with comparison, right? From the time that Delilah and Percy are young girls in the same seventh grade class. Like, I mean, you and I went through it in middle school. And I went through it in high school. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yep.
And it's awful. It's awful what women have to go through with that. Like I do in that regard, I feel for Percy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's talk like Percy does kind of reference this one, you know, time she had a breakdown and Chantel was there for her. And ultimately she does end up seeking therapy or she talks about how she does that a little bit. And still, there were a lot of ways that I related to Percy Fraser.
Mm-hmm.
My love for horror films was not something we have in common, though.
Oh, no. That was my jam. I was so excited when they were talking about it. I was like, oh, yes, that is my heart right there. I love me some good horror movies.
That's all you.
Yeah.
That's all yours.
Give them to me. I love them.
No, gracias. No, gracias. Oh, my goodness. And then what did you think of how it ended? I mean, I thought it was pretty sweet.
It was so adorable because, like, just the way that everything turned out and she was like, I'm going to propose to him. It was like, oh.
Because listener, he had proposed to her. So he comes back visiting from his program. What did you think of his proposal?
Can we talk about how he freaking knew the whole time? Jordan, I was about to call you by your full name, even your Hawaiian name, because I'm so angry. But okay, can we just talk about...
If you could see her right now, listener, she's very...
Listen, when she finally told him, and he was like, and he knew already, because Charlie told him when he came home from Christmas break. I'm assuming it was like that same
year. No, Charlie tells Sam after Percy turns him down. He proposes and Percy says no.
Yes. And then Charlie tells him. And then this whole time, like, okay, listen, all right. So he doesn't even, I just don't know how it, like, doesn't register in his brain. Like, I don't know if it was just because he's grieving, he missed her, or what. But it's like, you knew. Like, you slept with my brother, and here I am making love to you, and my mom died, and you're here, and it's whatever. But it's like, he freaking knew. He knew this whole time. And here she is holding this guilt, which I'm glad she said something. I'm glad that she finally, like, let it out after 12 years of holding it in and this causing,
like, Do we feel like family functions would be weird, though?
Okay, yes.
I'm sorry for interrupting, but
Okay.
Like, okay, the three of them grew up together. Absolutely understand.
Yeah.
What if you had ended up with the sibling of somebody that you've been with, though? Tell me.
I couldn't. That's so weird. Like, you don't do that. You don't be with one brother And then you go and you make love to the other one because you don't know where you stand with the other one because you're psycho. Okay, well, she's not psycho. She's a teenager who doesn't understand her emotions. Whatever. That's not the point. The point is, though, he knew. He knew this whole time. It apparently was, like, somewhat eating him up because when she finally said it after all this time, he, like, blew up. But then it was, like, he was chill and he was, like, okay because he forgave her already. But this poor girl is just, like, has been struggling. It has been eating her alive for, like, the last 12 years. Going through all these emotions and she's not good enough and she's this and she's that. And then he's just like, yeah, I know. I know. It's fine. It's no big deal.
Well, no, no, that's not necessarily true. He no, doesn't okay, no, say it's that not, it's not a big deal. Deal.
No, I but, he forgave her and whatnot. So it's fine. I mean, it's not fine, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. I was so mad when he was like, Charlie told me. And I was like, well, of course he did. Which I guess I shouldn't have been surprised because
Wouldn't Charlie have told Percy that Sam knew? That exactly. was another question that I had.
Like, he could have, when he reached out to her and was like, Ayo, Purse, like, mama died, come through the lake. By the way, I told Sam that we slept together. Cool, cool, still come. All right, bye. Like, you know, at least give her some kind of warning.
In no way. I'm just laughing. I'm sorry, because in no way at the start of the book, when Percy gets the call from Charlie, do you even fathom, like, it had not even crossed my mind, because you read the, like, you read the plot of the book, right? And you hear from Charlie, Percy gets a call from Charlie, and never once did I think, oh, there was a thing.
And it wasn't until, I want to say about, like, now that I'm thinking about it, maybe, like, halfway through the book, maybe a little bit more with their, like, behavior and stuff towards each other, but I just didn't. And then that's, I think I finally had a moment where I texted you before I knew, and I was like, she freaking slept with him, didn't she? I was like, I know that's what it was. And then when I read it, I was like, I freaking knew it. Because listen,
I believe her exact text to me was, if she slept with Charlie, I swear. And I was like, oh, well, you gotta keep reading.
Yeah, and I was like, I'm going to throw this book in the garbage.
That's what you said. You said, I swear, I'm going to
throw this book in the garbage.
But would you read, okay, but here's the question. Would you read Meet Me at the Lake?
Yes.
Would you read? Okay.
But I read the synopsis of it, and it seems very similar to this book.
It does seem a little similar.
So I guess we'll have to read it on our own time to see how it goes. But I or do want to squirrel on that, though.
Go ahead. Have a squirrel moment, friend.
I'm going to have a squirrel. But about the second book, I swear, Jordan, if it's like she slept with this guy's brother or like best friend, I'm just not going to read any more books because I'm like, listen, I could do it once. Like she got me. She kicked me in the gut once, and I will not be fooled again.
Don't worry, Carly Fortune will choose another way to punch you in the guts with the second.
I'm sure we'll have a thing about that. But side note on that though, I do have a question for you.
Go for it.
If this book were to come out in the theater, like the last thing he told me on Apple TV, you know, they turned into a series, and that was so amazing, by the way.
I haven't finished. Okay, I'm really sorry.
Lady, get it together. Anyway, who do you think would be a good Percy, Sam, Charlie?
I know. Okay, so we're going into that segment, listener. Enjoy introducing this segment, by the way. Can I just say, okay, so film, TV, movie, adaptation, whatever. Who would we envision in the lead role of these characters?
Yeah.
Now that you said the last thing he told me, it's really crazy. All of a sudden, I did envision Jennifer Garner as Sue.
Okay, thank you.
It made my heart, it warmed my heart a little bit. That might also just be the summer shandy beer. But It got very nice and warm. Just the thought of Jennifer Garner as the mom figure, right? That just would be so great. Okay. And I also have a Daisy Jones and the Six thing right now, y'all. If you haven't watched it, if you haven't read Taylor Jenkins Reid, which, by the way, we covered Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. Did you know they're making that a series? Wait, are they?
No, I don't know.
You need to look that up while I'm talking about this. But he played Billy Dunn, Sam Claflin, who was also in The Hunger Games. I think he would make an amazing Sam Florek. Older.
He was really good in the what was that? Hold on.
Me Before You.
Yes. Love that. I cry every time still.
I know. It's a beautiful movie. That's an ugly cry movie right there, by the way.
Like
very much so. And then I was kind of picturing Amy Adams as Percy. Older Percy. Yeah. All of a sudden now as older Percy, I can kind of see Drew Barrymore in it too.
I know. So that's kind of what I was thinking too when I was thinking about the like who I would like to see as Percy. So I was thinking more so along the lines of like Jessica Chastain.
I know. You love it. That's a good one.
I love her. And then for like a younger Percy, though, I would choose Sadie Sink, Stranger Things. She's okay. Super cute. I love her.
Speaking of Stranger Things, though, I did read an article. Somebody wants Millie Bobby Brown to play the younger Percy.
Oh, that I think that would be cute, too. But I feel like Sadie Sink would be good because she does kind of look like Jessica Chastain and it would just be.
She's the one that plays Max. Yes. That's Max on Stranger Things. Okay. Yes. Okay.
And then for the boys, I am so torn because I have three like guys in mind. So I have Theo James, Divergent, love him. Colin O'Donoghue, he played Captain Hook in Once Upon a Time. Love him. Richard Madden, Mr. Robb Stark from Game of Thrones. Hello, heartthrob. Mm-hmm, love mm-hmm, you. Mm-hmm. So definitely like one of those.
Oh my gosh. No. Hold up. Who played Elton John as Rocket Man? Shoot. And he's in The Kingsman. What's his name?
Tara Egerton. Egerton?
Yes.
Yes. That guy.
Shoot.
Which? I know. Hold on.
He would make a really good Sam or Charlie too.
Yeah, and Richard Madden did play his manager in that movie.
I know. Yes.
Yep. Tara Egerton. See, I told you.
Oh. And you know the other one that Tara Egerton was actually so good in. So I did love him as Elton John. Yeah. But I gotta tell you what. When he was Robin Hood in which one did he play in? Yeah, he played Robin in the 2018 Robin Hood movie.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen? You haven't seen?
I think I have. I think I've seen it. Wait, let me see. Hold on. I probably only saw it once and then I didn't watch it again.
Mark finally got me to watch Robin Hood Men in Tights. Did you know that?
No.
Have you seen it?
Let me see. I'm looking. I have not. I thought I have.
You're going to have to look at that one for sure. Check it out. It's a really good one.
Yeah. But those men, I would definitely say, like, I wouldn't be mad if, like, one was Sam, one was Charlie. Like, I wouldn't be mad because I just feel like they're amazing.
This is true. I agree. I like it. I like it. I like it. Oh my goodness. Well, should we get into some end matter to wrap things up?
Yes, ma'am.
My goodness. Okay. Well, listener, first, I guess I'll get into our July book club podcast book of the month. When Life Gives You Lululemons by Lauren Weisberger.
I still need to buy that.
Oh my God. I'm so excited. No worries. No worries, girl. See if you can check it out at the library. You never know.
Well, you know, you are actually right.
But if you've read, listener, if you've read The Devil Wears Prada or you've seen the movie The Devil Wears Prada, then Lauren Weisberger's name should be familiar to you because she is the author that wrote The Devil Wears Prada. And When Life Gives You Lululemons is supposed to be sort of like a sequel to The Devil Wears Prada. And I am pretty excited. So it follows kind of what ends up happening to Emily, who was the other assistant. Not Andrea, obviously.
Andrea.
Anyway, I am super excited to read this. This is going to be a really good one. So that is our next book pick for the podcast, When Life Gives You Lululemons by Lauren Weisberger. I will share information on social media. And in the meantime, listener, please rate, review, subscribe, let us know what you're thinking, what you're feeling, if you agreed, disagreed with some of what we shared about Every Summer After by Carly Fortune. We really loved it. It was fantastic. And I look forward to getting to continue to cover some amazing books. We do have some exciting stuff coming along the way for you listeners. So be on the lookout to be voting in polls for books, voting for drinks. We're going to be getting into some of that as well. But in the meantime, I cannot stress enough, we love hearing from you. So please follow us on Instagram. We are Tales Over Tales Podcast. You can find me on Instagram at Miss, that's MS, Jordan Alexis.
And you can follow me at Alicia Contreras, which I need to shorten that because, oh my gosh. I'm going to squirrel really quick. I know we're like reaching the end here.
One more. You're fine. Go for it, girl.
We're going to squirrel. So, obviously, I have not been paying attention to these Devil Wears Prada books because I didn't realize When Life Gives You Lululemons was the third book. So I need to go back and read the second one. Yeah.
What's the second one?
Revenge Wears Prada, about Andy's life. Oh, apparently you didn't know either. So There's Revenge Wears Prada, The Devil Returns with, and this is following.
Oh! Andy.
So the one we're going to read follows Emily. We need it.
Here's the thing. I don't know necessarily that you need to read them in order.
Probably not. But it's good to know that there is another one. Andy. So that'll be interesting. Anyway, so obviously this little summer shandy has me a little shandy. Oh, gosh. I just.
Oh my goodness. Anyway, listener, be on the lookout for that next month. Yes. Alicia and I will be back together again with you next month. And then hopefully Abigail's going to be joining us for August. So it's going to be the three of us again, which will be so exciting. And I am just, I'm super jazzed. I hope you have a great rest of the week, my love. So, until then, friends, stay reading.
Stay classy.
Oh, and always
stay drinking.
Yeah. All right. I love you, girl. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.